If there's no objections, we'll do a meditation. And I like to keep the whole session kind of meditative, which means first thing you got to do is close down your internet browser, your instant messaging, and any other programs you might have open. Turn off the music, turn off whatever you got on, and let's focus. Sit comfortably. You don't have to sit cross-legged. You can sit as you like. You can even lie down as long as you're alert, aware, and mindful. Mindful is this word that we use to describe Buddhist meditation. It's an interesting word. If you play with it, it really does encapsulate what we mean by meditating. It means filling your mind up with one idea. When you meditate on something, you consider only that one thing. And so we're trying to fill our mind up with it, not be distracted by anything else. So what is that one thing that we're going to be mindful of? Well, if we have to condense it down to one thing, I would say that one thing is our own experience right here and now, what we're experiencing at every moment. So what is it that you're experiencing right now? You're experiencing sound, unless your speakers aren't working, and then you're wondering when we're going to start. You're probably experiencing sight, unless you've closed your eyes. Actually, let's do that. Let's all close our eyes. If possible, close your eyes. That takes you away from the computer a bit, which is useful in these situations. So you're hearing, but if your eyes are closed, you're probably not seeing much. You're probably not smelling anything unless the room is especially fragrant. You're probably not tasting anything unless you're eating or drinking. But you're probably feeling a lot. You'd be feeling the chair that you're sitting on. You'd be feeling the breath coming into the body and the breath going out of the body. The rising and the fall of the chest or the stomach. And finally, probably most important, you'll be thinking, or you'll have mental activity. Not only thinking, but you'll be judging and liking and disliking. You'll be doubting and worrying and all sorts of other things if you're an ordinary human being. So all of this is experience. We break it down, break it into parts. We've got the six senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, thinking. But in brief, it's just experience. So we're going to try to meditate on this and fill our minds up with it one by one by one. So really just pick anything, any experience. You can start with the body, the rising and falling of the chest or the stomach. That's really happening. And you fill your mind up with it by saying to yourself, rising, when it rises, and falling, when it falls. Rising, falling. Now don't say it out loud, but this just means filling your mind up with that idea. So there's no room for judging or clinging or wondering or worrying or doubting. all of that has no room because your mind is full. You're only knowing. You can just say to yourself, sitting as well. If you find the breath, watching the breath too difficult, you can just focus on your body, your sitting. Say to yourself, sitting, sitting, sitting. Just say it in your mind. Put your mind to the sitting position and say to yourself, sitting. Recognize it for what it is. You can focus on the feelings that you have, painful feelings, pleasant feelings, neutral feelings, calm feelings. And instead of judging them as good or bad, just remind yourself, fill your mind up with the feeling. Say to yourself, pain, pain if you have painful feelings, happy, happy if you have happy feelings, calm, calm if you have neutral feelings. Fill your mind up with the feeling. No room for judging. You can focus on the thoughts and just say to yourself, thinking, thinking. When there's no thoughts, no feelings, the easiest one to always go back to is the body. So if you get stuck for something to look for, go back and look at your body, how you're sitting or how the breath is affecting the body when the stomach rises and falls. And just use that as your main object. Until something else comes. If you have emotions, liking or disliking, fear or worry or stress or boredom or depression or frustration, aversion, confusion, distraction, doubt, whatever state your mind is in, pick that, you can pick that up as well. Fill your mind up with it and see what it's like. What are all these emotions really like? Are they good for us? Are they beneficial? The neat thing about the mind is it cares very much about what is beneficial and what is harmful, intrinsically. As soon as you see that something's beneficial, the mind instantly clings to it. Or cultivates it. When it sees that something's unbeneficial or harmful to it, it instantly rejects it, abandons it. So when you see that certain emotions are harmful to you, you abandon them. All of these negative emotions we want to do away with, all we got to do is see them as they are. Really understand them. When you do that, that's all it takes for the mind to let them go. Give them up. So when people tell you to let go, and you know, how do I let go? All it takes is wisdom and understanding of the experience as it is. You don't need to do anything about it. You don't need to fix it. Once you see it for what it is, you just let it go. That's how the mind works. It's a very important aspect of reality. Much more important than the size or shape of the universe or subatomic particles. This is reality that has meaning. It really has an impact on our lives. On our happiness and on our suffering. It is our ignorance that stops us from being totally and completely at peace with ourselves and the world around us. So all we're trying to cultivate here is wisdom, knowledge, understanding. So let's try that now for a few minutes. Okay, and just to end off the meditation sessions, just a short meditation. We'll spend a couple of minutes sending metta, or loving kindness, or friendliness, out to the universe. So, first make a wish for yourself to be happy, be free from suffering, be be content, at ease, find peace, and be well, and so on. And then send to all the people here, may everyone here be happy and well, at peace. May all of us find freedom and contentment, happiness, and so on. However you want to word it. May we all be well. May we all find peace. And then send to all the people in your home, all the people in your city, all the people in your country, all beings in your city and country, and all beings in the world, all beings in the universe, send in order, just for a couple minutes. May they all be happy and well and free from pain and suffering. May they all find peace and bliss. Okay, now, if you're not finished, just continue. I invite everyone to continue meditating. And if you have questions, you can ask them now. And I'll try to answer questions until maybe 4:30, and then I have to go. Yeah, you can just acknowledge to yourself, hearing, 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 that works. It's an interesting meditation. Not sure if anyone asked any questions. I think I may have missed the missed a question. No, there we are. I'm planning a retreat next year. How far in advance should I make contact? Well, as soon as possible, generally. Depending, of course, where you're going, but absolutely as soon as possible. I don't know, but it depends on the place you're going to, but I like to have people also reconfirm. So, yeah, it's get in touch as soon as possible, but reconfirm about a month in advance. That's useful as well, because some places forget about you. Buddhist monasteries are not like companies or institutions, other institutions. They're not always as organized as we might like, so they often forget about your reservation, and you know, from our end, half the people who contact us wind up canceling, and half of those people don't contact us to let us know they're canceling. So I like to remind people to let me know, maybe even a couple weeks before you're coming. have a lot of loneliness and depression. Is this all part of my ego not wanting to connect to happiness that is already there? It may have more to do with your desire for happiness. The reason why we suffer is mostly because we expect things to be different from what they are. We react to things. We try to control things. Yeah, ego's a big part of it, but it's not the ego of not wanting to connect to happiness. It's the ego of trying to find happiness, thinking there's something wrong. Even thinking there's something wrong with loneliness and depression. You might object to that and say, well, there is something wrong with loneliness and depression, and that's fine, I agree, but that there's a difference between accepting the objective reality that these things are bad and actually reacting negatively to them. So when you react to negative emotions in a negative way, it perpetuates them. You get depressed about your depression, and that's really where depression comes from. It's a prolonged habitual state of dislike or dissatisfaction that becomes a rut, and so they call it depression. It's not sharp, it just becomes habitual. So once you're able to look at the loneliness and say, okay, I'm lonely, and say to yourself, lonely, lonely, or even just feeling depressed, or so on, you'll find that they're really not that scary. There really is not much to make a fuss about. And that is the beginning of changing the way you interact with reality in terms of just seeing it for what it is. Then whatever it is that makes you depressed, thoughts, you say to yourself, thinking, and just let it be. I mean, the kicker is where you say, I have, right? We, this is how we work. We think they're mine and me and mine, and we think they're a problem and an identity, when they're really just emotions that arise and cease. There's nothing intrinsically I about them. Welcome. It's not always peaceful in meditation for me. I mean, in the way that something comes up to make me look at it and understand it and work through it. But when is that going to stop? Am I going to always have things come up in meditation? I guess I have a lot of issues to understand. No, that's perfectly reasonable. Until you let go of them, until your mind is untangled from them. The Buddha said, the Buddha was asked once how we untangle the tangle. This is the pertinent question. When you cultivate wisdom, when you understand, you untangle yourself from these things. So you're not doing anything wrong, and probably your practice is great, and it's going to lead you to let go. But one thing I would say is look at the wanting for it to stop, because that's aversion. An obsession that has come up in the mind, the disliking of it. So say to yourself, disliking, or it can lead to doubt. You start to doubt whether the meditation's actually useful, so focus on the doubt. So these things are objectively negative, and that's why we're meditating. Meditate on those things. Because the freedom comes when you stop asking yourself, when's it going to stop? You just don't have any interest in it. You're like, you stop caring about it. Stop caring about the suffering. Stop worrying about the suffering. You untangle, disentangle yourself from it, and you let go. And that's when the mind leaves samsara. This is all samsara, all this craziness. It doesn't ever get better. You just leave it. You just stop being bothered by it. trying. Patience. Here, wait, I got this. Let me see. There. That's for you. That was Yoda. Will there be retreats in Winnipeg? Is there a place I can go to meditate with a group? I have practice in Myanmar. Oh, cool. Great, yeah. Good news. It sounds like, fingers crossed, it sounds like on the 21st of March, which is not so far away, we'll be moving into a new location. And we'll have five rooms. So from that point on, people are welcome to come free of charge to stay with us and do a residential retreat. We'll feed you, teach you, house you, We won't pamper you, but we'll let you stay with us, and as long as you're a diligent meditator, you can go through at least a 21-day course. Especially if you practice with the Mahasi tradition. It might be a little bit different from what you practice, but very little. There's just be a day-by-day technical differences. The technique is the same. Yeah, just send me an email. We'll try to have, eventually we'll have a, or maybe we already do have an application form up, I'm not sure. Have to go look at that. Everything's moving quickly. Can you describe samsara? Has that to do with reincarnation? Samsara is just a, it's just one word we can use to describe this, all of this experience, things that arise and cease, things that come and go, things that don't last, everything that is impermanent. All of that, when you put it together, is samsara. It's often specifically referring to reincarnation or rebirth or the cycle of birth, old age, sickness, and death. But those are just conceptual realities. Ultimate reality is everything arises, everything that arises ceases, and all of that that arises and ceases is samsara. This cycle of birth and death, rising and ceasing. So it's reality. It's what we experience. So we're just trying to unravel it and understand it and make sense of it and be free from suffering. Like the law of cause and effect. Well, law of cause and effect is a part of it. It's a law that It's a law that samsara runs by. And samsara runs by the laws of cause and effect. Everything things don't arise just at random. They arise in an orderly sequence, for the most part. Or maybe entirely, I'm not sure. Does reincarnation exist? Well, the mind doesn't die at death, if you're asking me, and you want my opinion. The mind doesn't stop arising at death. There's the arising and ceasing continues. I don't see any reason to believe that it doesn't, and lots of reasons to believe that it does. But reincarnation, that's just one way of explaining it. The truth is the mind just arises and ceases. You know, there's experience after experience after experience, and that doesn't cease. There is no body, there is no mind as such. There's only the experience that arises and ceases. How would one go about planning to attend your center in Canada, and would one be definitely be taught under yourself? Yeah, if you make it to my center, it'll definitely be me that's teaching you for the next year or two at least. Until I start training teachers. Then we'll see about that. I'm not sure how that'll work, but probably be me. How would you go about it? Well, you have to get in touch with us. First we have to get a place. We're still in a two-bedroom house, so both bedrooms are occupied. And we're going to have a problem because I can't technically stay in the same building with women. So as for women coming, going to have to be a little bit more patient, and hopefully as soon as possible I'll be able to move out of the house, and then we can allow everyone to come. But yeah, you have to get in touch with me via my website. That's probably the best. What is ceased? Can it come back? As example, the consciousness. Can it come back? I had this question before. I want to say right away no, but the point is, how would you know whether the consciousness that arose later was the same consciousness? What would it mean to say that it was the same consciousness? It doesn't exist somewhere that it comes back, right? Consciousness is an experience that arises and ceases. If another consciousness arises and ceases, what would you mean by saying it was the same consciousness that arose again? Except to say it was the same nature, I don't know. It's certainly not the same consciousness. I do not think it has to cease at all. Well, you're welcome to your opinion. Go meditate. Figure it out. I have a feeling about myself. This is what I mean. Feeling about myself. This is what I mean. I don't get it. We also forget what we ate last year. I don't get that either. These are not questions. So no more questions, we'll just keep meditating. I don't know when I'm supposed to stop, but I was figuring I'd give an hour, but you're all welcome to leave as soon as you want. Maybe I was only supposed to stay half an hour. Why can't you stay in the same building with women, or did I mishear that statement? Because I'm a monk. I have monastic rules of celibacy. I can't even be alone. I can't even sit down alone in a room with a woman, technically. Just rules that help keep the community in line. Sounds odd for a monk. Celibacy isn't an easy thing. Young monk sitting alone with women. I'm still looking for someone to edit the monk videos. Yeah, someone actually started doing it. I got someone's email, I guess that's you, saying they would do it, and then someone else just sent me a bunch of them already, bunch of the timelines already worked out. So I don't know if he's gonna finish them or not. But yeah, if you're the other emailer, I'll see if I can coordinate it. But I've already explained to him what. He did it once, and I explained to him what needed to be corrected or what more needed to be done, so hopefully he'll do it. What should I do with expectations from my near family? For example, my family and my spouse expect me to have a kid, but I know it only leads to me to more attachment. Yeah. Well. The best answer, run away, run away. We have that. Do we have a sound for that one? Run away. Yeah, we do. There we go. That's for you. Yeah, I know. I'm a multimedia geek. If you can't run away, use wisdom. The best answer to everything is to speak the truth. If it's going to lead to burdens, then try to speak objectively about it. The problem is people don't generally approach these things objectively. They use their emotions, and they don't really understand what their situation is. Follow your heart. Well, Buddhism, we kind of reject that idea, considering that your heart is what leads you to become addicted to drugs. Your heart is what leads you to get in conflicts with other people. Your heart is what leads you into a lot of trouble if you're not careful. It's not the heart. Well, I mean, what you think is one thing, but the truth is another. It's the mind, or it's the heart, or it's whatever you call it. You should follow wisdom. follow the truth. It's very easy for us to be wrong about things. This is the problem with following your heart. What organ in man can distinguish truth from untruth? Well, the mind, the heart, it does, but the mind is also what mixes them up. So you need to cultivate mind states, or heart states, or whatever you want to call them, that are able to make to discern, that are discerning. It's up to you whether your heart is going to lead you astray or lead you in the right direction. It's up to the quality of your heart. It's not about following your heart, it's about training your heart. Cultivating a wholesome heart. The Buddha said, Mano Pubangama Dhamma. The mind or the heart is what comes before all things. If you speak or act with an impure heart, suffering follows you. Like the cart follows the ox. If you speak or act with a pure heart, happiness follows you, like a shadow that never leaves. Well, I mean, if you want to teach, you can apply to be a teacher here, and see what they say. But you know, everyone has their own opinion. No, I'm not complaining. I don't know. These aren't questions, and I don't have an answer. I'm not gonna debate these things, really. I suppose I could debate them, but I'd rather just answer people's questions because it's a lot more practical. Sounds like you have your idea of the way things are, so that's cool. But right now I'm trying to answer questions based on my understanding of the way things are to help people according to my understanding of the Buddha's teaching. Maybe I'm making too much of an issue out of this. I don't mean to get heavy or anything. I know for one of my questions you mentioned you don't teach Maranānusati. But what techniques do you suggest when feeling lazy or ill will? Well, insight meditation, mindfulness meditation, is the best. If it's overpowering, then yeah, you do use other meditations. If it's ill will, you would use metta, loving kindness. It helps you to calm that down before you start into insight meditation. If you have laziness, you would cultivate things like Maranānusati is a good one. Think about your death. Aduang me jivitang, my life is uncertain. Duvang maranang, life, death is certain. Jivitang me aniyatang, my life is also uncertain. No? Niyatang, maranang niyatang, and so on. And they have meditations like that. What's another good one for laziness? Walking meditation is good for laziness. Do a lot of walking meditation. That helps wake you up. Did anything draw you to the Theravada tradition, or did you not agree with some of the things that, for instance, Zen or Mahayana teaches? It's funny because I went to Asia looking for Zen and Taoism. I was a Taoist when I went to Asia. And then I kind of chickened out on going to China and just went to a meditation center in Thailand. So I don't know, it's kind of, in that way I'm kind of, it's hard for me to be objective answering that, because the way it sounds is kind of like, well, I could have just as easily been a Zen Buddhist if I had decided to go to China or Japan. But I'm perfectly content with what I have. I don't have much to say about Zen or Mahayana. Um, But I don't teach it, I don't practice it, and I never really have. It doesn't interest me. Maybe I can say that is after practicing what I practice now, I have zero interest in going to any other Buddhist tradition, even having learned a little bit about various ones. So that's not to speak badly about them, but personally, I have no. I guess I don't have an answer as to what drew me to Theravada, because I kind of fell into it. But once I got into it, I've been totally and completely content with it. I've never had any feeling of need for something else. So, you see, I don't want to get into an argument about why I think it's better or so on, because it doesn't sound very nice. But I think it's better. Works for me anyway. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm not trying to be heavy or reprimand people or anything. I just probably better if we keep these to a question and answer sort of idea. I don't know. I mean, I'm not offended by anyone giving their opinions. I'm just gonna say what I think. That everyone's welcome to their opinion. Will you be teaching Pali or Sanskrit? Sanskrit, I doubt it. Pali, maybe. Pali, I'll be teaching to advanced meditators. You have to have done at least a month of meditation with me before I'll teach you Pali. That's my rule. Because I'm not a Pali teacher. In fact, I'm not very good at it. I taught one guy and he's gone out and bought some Pali books to start over, I think. But, if you want to struggle through it with me. I think that's not fair. I think actually I can sort of teach. Probably I'll get better as I teach Pali more. I like teaching Pali because it refreshes my memory on all those things. We'll conduct a discussion class. Yeah, well. I don't mind. It is a discussion in Theravada Buddhism, so if you don't know anything about Theravada Buddhism, just giving your own opinions doesn't. It just doesn't mean much to me, that's all. I'm not offended by it, but if you say, I think this, I think that, I don't know what to say about that, because I'm here teaching Theravada Buddhism. So it sounds like you don't really follow Theravada Buddhism, which is fine, but maybe you are better off at a different session. I'm not offended. I'm not trying to be heavy or anything. Yeah, peace. Peace to you. I didn't write the announcement, so I don't know what it said, but I mean, the point, I guess, really is if everyone just started saying, I think this, I think that, it doesn't really get anywhere, does it? Because, yeah, well, that's true. You think this and you think that, but I don't know. It just doesn't mean much to me. I'm here to teach, right? If you go into a if someone goes into a Pali class and says, "Well, I think it's better if the conjugations are this way," I say, "Well, but it doesn't matter what you think. The conjugations are this way." So that's not a. So yeah, probably he's probably right. Discussion group is probably a bit vague. This isn't like AA or something, right? Bring up your feelings. Or maybe it is. But even AA, they have the, if someone comes to AA and says, well, I think we should do the 12th step first, or something like that. And you say, well, it doesn't really matter what you think. We're, if you want, go out and start your own AA. Our AA does it this way. And doesn't that make sense? Maybe I shouldn't have said anything. Should have just let him have his opinions. Obviously, the meditation there is only for the purpose of calming and focus, not to achieve insight and eventually enlightenment. I don't get it. Are you happy? Is that a question for me? Am I happy? Yeah. Sometimes happiness arises. Oh, yes. I think if you compare me to before I started meditating, it's night and day. I was in hell before I started meditating. Darkness. So if I don't seem terribly happy now, you should have seen me before I started meditating. What was the reason to start meditate for me? I was looking for something. I was looking for truth, for wisdom. That's what I said. I didn't really know what wisdom was, but that's what I was looking for. When I was young, from the time I was young, I was looking for it. I just couldn't find it growing up in Canada. And so I got lost and followed a lot of wrong paths until I found one that I think is the right path. That and I was suffering a lot. I couldn't really get into the whole samsara thing. Nothing brought real happiness. I was just fooling myself, trying to find happiness, and the more I tried, the more suffering came. Until finally I dropped out of school, and why did I become a monk? Just because I like meditating. Because I started meditating and started reading the Buddhist teachings after that, and found it like radical awesome and thought I wanted to dedicate my life to it. I recognize, do you still recognize and read spiritual texts like the Tao Te Ching? Absolutely. The Tao Te Ching, not like the Tao Te Ching, but the Tao Te Ching specifically? Absolutely. I think it's right, spot on. I have a theory that Lao Tzu was a Pacheka Buddha, if you know what that is. Because he would have passed away just before the Buddha, he may have passed away just before the Buddha arose, which is apparently what happened to all the Pacheka Buddhas. They all disappeared before the Buddha came. And the timing puts him just right there. Which makes sense, because what he teaches is very similar to the Buddha's teaching, but less specific, you know, less advisory. Sort of like he couldn't explain it in the detail that the Buddha did. And so he just gave like descriptions of what the master is like this, the master is like that, without actually giving specific instructions on how to become a master. But great book. That's what started me on this path, really. In high school, I was looking, and then someone took the Tao Te Ching and was passing it. These older kids in class, they were passing this book, so he passed it to me. He's like, you pass this to that person over there. I don't remember who it was. And I took it, and on the way back, passed it over to the person, then on the way back, I opened it up and read a page, and it just blew me away on the first page. And so I asked to borrow this book, and from that moment on, I was Taoist. I was probably about 16 at the time. 15 at the time. I miss Thailand. I don't miss Thailand at all. Sorry. I'd rather not go there. Thailand's hot. I don't know. It's Thailand. There's some nice forest, but most of it's been cut down and it's just regrowth. I like Canada. I can talk about Canada if you like. It's cold and people are quiet and everything's quiet here. I don't know. Your teachings are really pure, and I listen to your teachings on time and accept you as my teacher. I am in India and the US, so I know I can't come to your center in the near time. So is it fine for now to follow you online and practice my meditation? Absolutely fine by me. Wonderful. I mean, thank you. I feel honored that people are appreciative and like the things that I teach. It's great to. It's what keeps me doing it. No, I wouldn't do it if people were always telling me how lousy I was at it. Or maybe I would. That's in the beginning. I was pretty lousy at it. And I just thought, well, you have to train. If you don't train, you don't get good at anything. But yeah, you can send me an email if you have questions. What do you think about worship? Worship like from Warcraft? World of Warcraft or something? Or do you mean worship? W-O-R-ship. I'm probably thinking worship. Worship means to take something as worthy. So yeah, I believe in it. Now, if you mean in terms of taking something as your god, no, I guess I don't. What is the difference between Buddha and Lord Buddha? Buddha is what people call them when they don't call him when they don't follow after him, and when they do follow after him, they sometimes call him Lord Buddha because he's their lord. They take him as their master. They follow everything he says, that kind of thing. Just like some people call me Bhante because they respect me, and other people just call me Yutta because they think of me as a friend, and my parents call me Noah because that's the name they gave me. What is the best way to worship Buddha? Well, you can practice. Oh, this is an easy one. What's the best way to worship the Buddha? The Buddha said himself, the best way to worship a Buddha is to practice his teachings. I think that's an obvious answer. The Buddha said, Yoko ananda bhikkhu wa bhikkhuni wa upasako wa upasika wa dhamma nu dhamma patipanno samiji patipanno, something like that. Anu dhammachari so tathagat Tathagato karukaroti, sakkaroti karukaroti, manyeti pucheti paramaya puchaya. Short version. Whatever monk or bhikkhu or bhikkhuni or layman or laywoman practices the Buddha's teaching for the purpose of realizing the truth, practices well, practices rightly, such a person properly pays homage with the highest form of respect, homage, and worship to the Buddha. Because they were bringing him flowers and candles and incense, and he said, that's not how you pay respect to the Buddha. Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate the vote of confidence. It's nice to know that you can affect people. And now that you see that you can affect people, go out and try to affect people yourself, because it has to be. I'm not special. There's nothing special about me or any of us who teach. We've just trained in it. You know? Show me what cannot be achieved by striving. So don't be content to be a student. If you have the time, teach what you've learned to others. If you have the chance, it's the best way to keep yourself going on the path. Well, not the best way, but it's quite helpful to keep you going on the path. Okay, so that's 6:30. I'm going to go now. Sorry, 4:30 in Second Life time. Thank you, everyone, for coming. It's been great. I appreciate the interest, and I hope this has been useful, beneficial, and that you're all able to take these teachings and find peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering for yourself. I'll try to be back every week at the same time, so put it in your calendars, or not if you've had enough. And if you're looking for more, you can go to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/yuttadhammo, or you can go to my web blog at yuttadhammo.sirimangalo.org. But if you just Google my name, the Yuttadhammo part anyway, you'll find me. And there's a booklet on how to meditate on my web blog. I recommend that as the first stop if you're interested in what I do. Otherwise, peace, and hope to see you again, or see your cleverly constructed avatars next week in Second Life at the same time. Peace all.